Then in chapter 32, then it looks like that God let night come down over his reign. Sennacherib came down from Assyria again and made an attack. And he was ready to make an attack upon the city of Jerusalem, and he began by terrifying the inhabitants. We saw that back in Kings. He went out and said it loud so all could hear it, loud and clear, that no one could deliver out of the hands of Sennacherib, that no God had ever been able to deliver any people. If they thought their God to deliver them, they were wrong. And what happened? Well, we're told in verse 20, "And for this cause Hezekiah the king and the prophet Isaiah the son of Amos prayed and cried to heaven." Now, this man was a man of prayer, and a real man of prayer. And he looked to God, and God delivered the city. Now, not only that, but in verse 24 of chapter 32, we're told, "In those days Hezekiah was sick to the death, and he prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, he gave him a sign." Now, I went into this in a great deal of detail when we were back in Kings, in 2 Kings, because it was very personal to me, as I have cancer. I'm not cured yet by any means. And this becomes very personal to me. God told Hezekiah, "You're going to die." And believe me, Isaiah came in and told him that, and Hezekiah went in and prayed before God. And God extended his life 15 years. God heard his prayer. And I think God heals. I believe in divine healing. But I also believe in calling the doctor also. And Hezekiah, they put a poultice of figs on this boil. It could have been a cancer or whatever it was. And God healed him and gave him 15 more years. Now, here's a case, though, where actually the man had lived his life, served his day and generation, and we find here God calls attention to it. He accumulated a great deal of wealth. You see, the kingdom had become very poor. Now they got a great deal of wealth. And he exposed all of that to ambassadors from Babylon, which he should not have done. And that, of course, ultimately brought the king of Babylon against his kingdom later on. Then we're told, verse 32, "Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and his goodness, behold, they are written in the vision of Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, and in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Hezekiah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the chiefest of the sepulchres of the sons of David. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem did him honor at his death. And Manasseh, his son, reigned in his stead." Hezekiah had been the best king. Now the worst king of all, his son, Manasseh, comes to the throne. But I want you to notice something here that I think is very important to note. That God today, in our day, is sovereign as he was then, in this matter of revival. "The wind bloweth where it listeth," our Lord saith. "You heareth the sound thereof. Thou canst not tell whence it cometh or where it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit." You have to recognize that only God can send the revival. God is sovereign in this matter, and the Holy Spirit is. God's not a Western Union boy or a bell boy that you just push a button and he'll come. You can't give commands to God. "I hear today, I command you, Lord, that you do this." You're not commanding him to do anything, my friend. He alone can send revival. And very frankly, you remember in the days of Elijah, even when the prophets of Baal had screamed themselves hoarse, yelled like fanatics, they weren't able to bring down fire upon the sacrifice. And now Elijah, he lays the stones in order, and he puts the wood there and the sacrifice on it and pours on water. And he prays. And he was a man of like passions as we are. In other words, he's saying to the Lord there, He said, Lord, all we can do is just get the stones together, get a little order here, and put the wood here and the sacrifice here, but the fire you will have to send, and it'll be up to God. And God responded at that time. Now, I believe today that we're seeing a movement. I thought at first confined just to young people, but it's not. It's among young married couples. And as one said to me, he's a man, I would say, in his 40s. I consider him young. And he has a couple of boys, 10, 12 years old, and they're getting away from him. And he told me, he says, I've got to have some answers to some problems. And I found out, I thought I could always solve my problems, but I need God. And today there is a turning to the Word of God. I rejoice in it. I see it now. Everywhere, and very candidly, I never saw that in my ministry in the church. This movement is largely outside of the church today. And I've seen in meetings that we've had now all over this country, I've seen young people come in by the scores. They never came to conferences before, never seemed to be interested. And then I've seen older people the same way, a real interest in the Word of God. Now, unfortunately, there are some pastors today and some religious leaders trying to capitalize on it. So they're feeding these young people a bunch of garbage. They're giving them this hard rock music. I don't buy it. And they're giving them a great deal of other things except the Word of God. And you remember our Lord said, when your son asks for bread, don't give him a stone, and certainly don't give him hard rock. Give him the Word of God. Give him the real Word of God. I think this is the hour, friends, to get the Word of God out. Now, I'm not saying there's a revival on. There's not. I don't know whether it will be or not. I'm staying on the sidelines today. And as I go about, I told a bunch of these young people, I've told them in about a half a dozen states now, I said, I find out they're listening to our radio program. I say, I'm a square. You don't know how square I am. But they still want to hear the Word of God. And one of them came to me and says, well, we listen to you because you tell it like it is. Well, that's the only way I know how to tell it. I've been telling it that way for years, friends, but nobody listened. But today, they're beginning to listen. Are we on the verge of something? I don't know. I'm just praying that the Lord send it. And I'm going to be very frank with you. If it comes, it'll come, and he'll be the one that'll send it. And I just get my raincoat out in case the showers of blessing come. And I just think I'll not even put the raincoat on. I've never seen a revival in my day. I'd really like to see one, wouldn't you? Now, let me give a challenge to you in this moment that's left to me. Why don't you make an inventory of your own personal life? If you want God to move in on you, let me put these five things down briefly. Am I honest? Ask yourself that question. Are you? Am I truthful? Are you? Am I faithful? Can you be depended on? Am I pure? Are you really in this dirty day and filthy pictures and filthy language? Am I pure? And then, am I dedicated? Are you really a dedicated child of God? Moody heard a man say that the world has yet to see what God can do with a man that's fully yielded to him. Moody said, by the grace of God, I'll be that man. And for my money, Moody was that man. But at the end of his life, he said, I heard Henry Varley say that, and I can say the world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully yielded to him. Oh, my friend, let's get into the stream today and let the water of life flow. Let's get out the Word of God.